Blog Talk Radio. Praise the Lord and greetings in the name of Jesus Christ. We welcome you aboard tonight to Blog Talk Radio. The show that you're listening to tonight is The Rock. Jesus is the rock of all ages. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, we still can look to Jesus, for he is the author and finisher of our faith. So we greet you tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus, and we thank God for allowing us a chance to share the good news. And no matter what we're going through, we know we can call on the name. The Bible says, call on the name of the Lord, he will answer us and show us great and mighty things that we know not. My name is Elder Thomas Williamson. I just want to say welcome aboard. Thanks a bunch for spending your time with us tonight. Good to be back on the air again. What a privilege and an honor it is to share the good news of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Tonight is Wednesday night. Wednesday night. And this is March 18th. March 18th. And this is the 77th day of the year. 77th day of the year. So that means we have exactly 288 days left in this calendar year. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Just want to remind you that we're here right here on Blog Talk every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. As the Lord give us an opportunity, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock Mountain, 8 o'clock Pacific, and 3 a.m. Universal Time. It's every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Also, if you desire to listen to us live, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Didymus. That's spelled D-I-D-Y-M-U-S 2010. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/Didymus, which is spelled D-I-D-Y-M-U-S 2010. There you can listen to tonight's episode, or you can download previous ones at your convenience. Tonight, we want to approach the throne of God in prayer. Whatever you need. Jesus told us men ought to always to pray and not to faint. In Luke 18:1, he spake this parable to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint, to give up, cave in, or quit. Remember, we understand the Bible says that the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus has come that we may have life and that we might have it more abundantly. So let's pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, as I decree, may you increase, be glorified, O God, in all that we say or do. Forgive us, Lord God, for all our sins, iniquities, and transgressions. O God, we want to thank you today that we are made righteous because of Jesus Christ. For he that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Lord, we thank you, God. Even as your word declares, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So, Father, I thank you today. Thank you for your strength. Thank you that we have confidence in your word, not in ourselves. But we trust you, Lord. Speak to our hearts as we open our hearts to your word tonight. Father, we just give you all the glory. We give you all the praise because there is no God like thee, O God. Bless now, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we thank you. Thank you that we have hope in the midst of hopeless times. We honor you and we praise you. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Tonight, excuse me, if you have your word for your consideration, we want to ask you, go with us to the book of Romans. The 8th chapter. Romans, the 8th chapter. And we're going to begin at verse 24. Romans, the 8th chapter, and verse 24. And I ask you, in your Bible, paper and pencil, we want to just encourage you that in the day that we are living in, so much is happening. We recognize that we have a real enemy. As believers, we have a real enemy. He is the devil, and his job is to steal, kill, and destroy. If he can get us fighting against each other, warring against each other, he's doing what he wants to do. But when we understand and recognize that the greater one lives in us, we can have hope in the midst of a trying time. So tonight we're going to talk about just that, hope in the midst of a trying time. Romans 8, beginning at verse 24, the scripture declares unto us, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. Or what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? He says, we are saved or delivered. That word saved, we can say delivered or rescued. We're rescued by hope. Just imagine being out on the sea and your ship is about to drown. Then someone else had to come and rescue you. Many of us were like that man out on the sea with his boat, needed to be rescued. We needed a savior. We were drowning in our sin, drowning in our situation, drowning in our sorrow. But then the Lord rescued us by giving us his son. That is why the scripture says in John 3:16, for God so loved, he didn't just love, but he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the Bible said that, for we are saved by hope. You know, we have to have an expectation of something. If we are expecting something to change in our lives, you have to be anticipating that change. Because we cannot do the same old thing and expect a different result. We have to always understand that whatever we do, we must trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and lean not unto our own understanding. Lean not. It is so easy for us to say, well, I'm going to do it my way, like Frank Sinatra. But when you do it your way, then you're going to pay for it, generally. So the Bible says that we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? In other words, if I got $100 in my pocket, I don't have to hope for it because it's already manifested. But if I don't have that, then I can expectantly wait for it until it manifests. Now, the scripture says in the 25th verse, it is Romans 8, but if we hope that we see not, gives us a real clue here what we have to do. He said, then do we with patience wait for it. Now, that's something in itself right there. He said, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. In our society, we are blessed to have great technology and stuff like that, like microwaves, and microwaves cook food fast, but the quality of it is not the same as you cooking it and preparing it the slow way in a stove or oven. It's a fast way to get there. But he says, we, through patience, wait for it. We have to expectantly wait for what we're looking for. Notice now, and as we said in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not unto our own understanding. We can't depend on our own ideal, our own way, our own belief. We got to make sure that we are doing everything in righteousness, knowing that in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalted a nation, a sin is a reproach to any of people. Now, notice here, the Paul says, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, our weakness, help all our weaknesses, our situations that we are going through. He says, likewise, the Spirit, which means the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, also helpeth our infirmities. Excuse me. He said, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself or himself maketh intercession for us with groaning, which cannot be uttered. Notice now, he says, likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, helpeth our infirmities, whatever we are going through. We know that it's true because consider what Isaiah 53:5 says when he said, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So we see a remedy for sin right there too. Christ was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. And that's why you may hear us sometimes praying, forgive us for all iniquity, transgression, and sin. Because look what Christ had did. Christ already did it. He was wounded. That's what the cross represented. He went to the cross so that we don't have to go through the suffering he did. He suffered. It took one perfect sacrifice to sanctify them who were coming to after. The Bible says, but we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit intercession for us with groaning, which cannot be uttered. In other words, we have a God who was standing in the gap for us. We have somebody standing in the gap for us when we don't know what to pray. But as we study the word, as we meditate on the word, as we walk the word out and live it, then we'll begin to understand by and by. There are some things that he may have us praying. That's why it's so important to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Because when you pray in tongues, then you may not know what you're praying, but God himself knows, and he'll lead you in the path where you should go in terms of your prayer. You may be praying for somebody in another country, or even the neighbor next door, or even a friend across the state. But the Bible says that the Holy Ghost will make intercession for us with groaning, which cannot be uttered, can be put into our audible speech. Now the scripture says, verse 27, it's still in the 8th chapter, and he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Why? Because he make an intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Notice, that's why when we pray, we always pray according to the will of God. We don't want, you know, we may say, I want a certain thing. But sometimes if God puts blocks in there, he's letting you know, oh, this is not the way. But if you continue, you jump over those blocks, you'll have to pay for it. So he said, he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. And sometimes the enemy will send you counterfeit before you get the real blessing. That's why it's so important for you to harden your heart and your spirit to be open to him. No matter how good a thing look, person, place, or thing, you have to say, Lord, is this your will? Because his will is going to line up with the word of God. God in James 3:17, when he said that the wisdom that is from above is first pure. So anything God gives you is going to be first pure, and then peaceable. gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and without hypocrisy and without partiality. So the Bible declares that he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost knows. The Bible said, because he make an intercession for the saints. But here it is, he said, according to the will of God. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, the Bible declares, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Notice, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask according to his will, according to his will, that's the key, according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know he heareth us, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. And in the 28th verse here, Romans 8, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Notice he said, and we know. How do we know? Because we have experienced it. It's because we understand we have a relationship with him. And because of the experience we have, we know that if God is speaking to us, you begin to learn God by his voice. The Bible tells us in John 10 that a sheep, he said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger will they not follow. My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. So he said, and we know that all things work together for good. Now notice now, he didn't say that all things work together were good or felt good. He said all, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. If you love God, it's working for your good. Sometimes we may not understand certain things, but it's working for your good. To them that love God, he said, to them who are the called. Are you the called today? Are you the one set apart for God? You sanctified. He said, to them who are the called, he said, according to his purpose. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, the Bible says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, the thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. Now, let's do it again. He said, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, the thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. Everything is working together for your good. Sometimes when we won't hear God's corrected voice, he'll put a little heat on us. He'll allow trials to come our way to test us. He'll permit things to happen so that we can understand that it's working for your good. Since you won't hear stop, you can feel stop. No matter how much we love our children, there are times you have to simply correct them when they're wrong. And then if they won't receive correction, then you have to discipline them. And that's what the Lord does. When we won't hear correction, then he disciplines us. Now, the Bible says, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And he said, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He might be the firstborn among many brothers. This is a part of God's plan. He said, moreover, whom he did predestinate. So you got foreknow, you got predestinate, for whom he did predestinate, them he also called. So that's four areas. And then he said, and whom he called, them he also justified. Justified means really just as you never did it before, means you acquitted. Just. And the Bible said, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. So you see six areas. You got foreknow, you got predestinate, and then you got call, and then you got justified, and then you got glorified. So, you can see God has a good plan for our life, and it's working for good. In fact, the Apostle Paul, who wrote a major part of the New Testament, he was able to boldly declare, as he wrote to the church at Corinth, in the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter and the eighth verse, on every side, ye are not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. See, manifest is important because you understand that it's not until you see the end product that you can really, truly rejoice. You know, somebody can tell you they're going to give you $1,000, but, you know, the $1,000 is good, but it's better when you got it manifested in your hand. So he said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. You do understand that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be with us until the end of the world. So he said, we're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. What a privilege and an honor to know that God is delivering us. Yes, we may be going through the fiery trials of life, but as a believer, we're going to suffer. That's a part of it. But we got to be able, if we suffer with him, we're going to reign with him. Now, in that same chapter of 2 Corinthians 4, the first verse, the Bible declares this unto us. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, God has entrusted with us this ministry. Therefore, in other words, since God has entrusted us with the ministry, because in the previous chapter, he ended that chapter by saying, but we all, with open faith, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, a change into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, so since we have been changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, well, we know it's the mercy of God because every day he wakes us up. Heard a friend of mine pray this way one time, and she prayed, we have another day or another opportunity to get it right. In other words, another opportunity to repent, another opportunity to get before him and say, Lord, work on me today. So as we have received mercy, we faint not, we do not give up, cave in, or quit, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy. Lamentation 3:22 says, it's of the Lord's mercy And we are not consumed. Why? Because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faith as we have received mercy. We faint not. We don't give up, cave in, and quit. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Okay, so first, he said we renounce those things. We expose those things. Whatever they are, you expose the sin. You expose the thought. You expose the things that are hindering you. So he said, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness. I mean, trying to fool people. They don't have a heaven or hell to put us in. That's why you don't have to act one way around the saints and be another way around somebody else. You got to be right all the time because God is looking and he holds the record. Man has the rumor, but God has the record. The Bible declared, behold, his eyes is in every place beholding the evil and the good. So the Bible said, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. But by manifestation of the truth. You know, Jesus told us in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So he said, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. In other words, we ought to be an example of a believer. We may be going through, but we got to know that God has given us the wherewithal to make it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, the Bible says, for which cause we faint not. We don't give up, cave in, or quit. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, this body is changing from day to day. And one day it will expire. But the Bible says, for this cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, Apostle Paul calls it, what we're going through, light affliction, the trials. Well, it is light compared to eternity. You may go through 100 years, 110 years, or 50 years, or 20 years. Our light affliction, which is, but for a moment, working for us a far more, an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Why? For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Notice that again, he says, for which cause we faint not. We don't give in, give up, cave in, or quit. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Just like you have to renew your credit card after 2 years, 1, 2 years, 4 years, whatever the bank have determined, you have to renew that. Same with your license, you have to renew that so that you be able to operate for the next season. Every season is different. He said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. They're just temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So what you're going through today is just for a little while. The heat might be applied, but you can make it. Now, none of us like to suffer, but God has graced us that we can make it. in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul, and verse 7, 2 Corinthians 12, 7, this is what the Apostle Paul talking, said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. God had gifted Paul with all those gifts. He saw things, saw visions, and established churches and all that. He said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh. Many people argue with the thorn word, but the Bible tells us here in that verse, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. That's why sometimes God permits certain things to happen. We won't get caught up that we're so great. We're just only anointed to use. I mean, thank God he uses me to teach, but at the same time I have my battles and it keeps me. He has things that around me that causes me to pray so that I won't get to sin. Look how great I am. I'm not great, but the greater one lives in me. 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. So, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. It was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buff me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Saying, I besought the Lord thrice, which means three times, that it might depart from me. Now, he prayed about that thing. But the Bible says, he got an answer back. The Bible said, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. How many we need God's grace today? We need him to do us a favor. That's what grace is. Do me a favor. When you ask people, will you do me a favor? So he said, the Bible said, and so he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Though you're going through, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Though you have sinned, my strength is made perfect in weakness. But when you sin and you repent, he'll wash you clean. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory, how? In my infirmity. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmity, in reproach, in necessity, in persecution, in distress. Why would I do that? For Christ's sake. But when I'm weak, then I am strong. So the Apostle Paul said, God told him, my grace is sufficient for thee. I got what you need. All you got to do is look up and live. In Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2, I will lift up my eyes unto the hill. From whence cometh my help? Why? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory, how? In infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest. Jesus told us in Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. But my yoke is easy and my burden alike. That's why the Apostle Paul said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmity, in reproaches, in necessity, in persecution, in distress. For Christ's sake. I'm not doing it for my own. I'm doing it for Christ's sake. But when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And it brings me back to that age-old question that's still here today. The Apostle Paul asked in Romans 8, around the 35th verse, he asked his age-old question. Who should separate us from the love of Christ? And he named seven things. He said, who should separate us from the love of Christ? Number one, shall tribulation? We need trials of life to stop you from loving Christ, obeying Christ, or distress. We're living in a day where pressure is on every side, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. So he said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He named the seven things. He said, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Now you find this in Psalms 44:22, that we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. You know, a hog, when they're getting ready to kill him, they just let him eat as much as he wants. And he don't know that's his last meal. His greatest meal is his last meal. The Bible says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Nay, in all these things, in spite of these things, we are more than conquerors. Through him that loved us. He says, but I am persuaded, I'm convinced, that can't nobody tell me no different. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principality, nor number five, powers, nor number six, things present, nor number seven, things to come, number eight, nor height, number nine, nor depth, no matter how deep it is, number 10, nor any other creature shall be able to separate from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Romans 8:31 declared, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, if God be for us, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Notice, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So tonight, we can have hope in the midst of trials because we recognize that it's not something we do. Declared in Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord deliver him out of them all. Notice, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. Gracious God, we thank you tonight for your goodness and for your mercy, God. Thank you, God, that you're concerned about us, Lord. Thank you for making a way out of no way, God. Thank you for the word of God. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Thank you that your word will not return unto your void, but it shall accomplish that which you please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto you sent it. Oh, God, we thank you tonight for being our strength, God. Thank you, oh, God, for helping us go through. Help us to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Help us, God, to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. God, thank you for freeing us, oh, God. Thank you, God. Give us to say yes to your will, Lord. God, let no man, woman, boy, girl, nothing, no person, place, or thing stop us. Oh, God, be pleased, oh, God. Help us, oh, God, to rise up in righteousness and do those things that pleases you, Lord. Help us to receive your word, God, knowing that your word says all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Lord, we give you glory. We give you all the honor and the praise that belongs to thee, O God. Bless now, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you glory. Thank you for the victory today. Help us to cast all our cares upon you, for you care for us. Help us to be sober, be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. God, I thank you tonight that your grace is sufficient for us, Lord. Whatever we're going through, you've given us the grace to go through, God. Whatever we got to face, oh, God, your grace is sufficient for us. Lord, we thank you, and we give you praise for the victory. And we pray this all in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, we thank God for the word of God tonight. What a privilege and an honor God has blessed us to share the word tonight. And we say thank you for being a listener. Thank God for being so good and so kind. Remember that no matter what we're going through, we got to count it all joy. For God has given us the victory. He's already worked it out. We just got to believe. Just want to encourage you all to listen to us and continue to pray for us in Jesus' name, that God will use us, that he'll clean us up even more and more every day, and that he'll deliver us from the power of darkness, and he'll translate us into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Well, certainly we thank you for tuning in tonight to Blog Talk Radio. We look forward to seeing you, the Lord willing, back right here on Friday night, as we get into the Word of God again. So Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 says, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." This is Elder Thomas Williamson reminding everyone to be encouraged in Jesus' name. And we ask that question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? God bless you. God bless you. Have a great night in Jesus' name. Good night, everybody.